Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And if y'all remember, we're going to start about verse 18. And if y'all remember 2 Wednesday nights ago, I told y'all, don't read no more. Because if you read anymore, you won't come back the next Wednesday night. Well, I forgot that I was supposed to be in Louisville, Kentucky the next week. So guess who didn't show up last week? Me. Somebody pointed that out. They said, you was the one that didn't show up. And look at Ephesians chapter number 5. And we'll look at verse number 18 and read the rest of it. We'll try to finish Ephesians 5 tonight and then chapter 6 later. And don't forget that chapter 5 is just practical, everyday, ordinary Christian living. Christian living. Chapters 1, 2, and 3 talks about our salvation, what God has done for us. And that's wonderful. But 4, 5, and 6 is the part that's hard to live. It's hard to live 4, 5, and 6. How do you live the Christian life? Well, chapters 4, 5, and 6 will tell you. Look at verse 18. Paul says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Notice the comparison. We've dealt with this in times past, but the comparison is don't be drunk with wine, obviously, for obvious reasons. The wine controls your body. The wine, the strong drink, the alcohol controls you. You're not yourself. The wine is doing the talking, or the alcohol is doing the living through your body. Well, in contrast, for a saved person, the Holy Spirit ought to do for a Christian what wine does to a wino. In order to control you. When you open your mouth, it ought to be the Holy Spirit. When you talk or when you live your life, when you go to work, the Holy Spirit ought to be living through your life. You ought to be filled up with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, let me say this in passing. There is an indwelling that takes place when you get saved. You get the Holy Spirit right then and there. It's called an indwelling. It only happens one time. Only one time. You can only be indwelt with the Holy Spirit one time. And He don't leave. No matter what somebody told you, the Holy Spirit don't leave. He comes in to stay. But filling of the Spirit happens every day. How full of the Spirit are you? It's not a matter of, boy, I'm telling you what, we got in the Spirit tonight. Boy, you can get into a different kind of Spirit other than the Holy Spirit. Even in church. I've been in some churches and, boy, I felt a bad spirit when they started all that music and all that carrying on and all that stuff is ungodly. In church now, in church, I felt uncomfortable. But anyway, be not drunk with wine where is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. How are you filled with the Spirit? How are you filled with the Spirit? All right, the next verses are going to tell you. Here's how you do it. Verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms. That's in the Old Testament, psalms. That's what the Old Testament Jews, that was their hymn book. They didn't have a hymn book like we just got through singing out of. They sang the book of Psalms. There's one psalm that has music put to. Some of you are familiar with it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Yeah, right? That's a psalm, and that's what the Jews did. They put music to the Psalms in the Old Testament. That was their hymn book. So instead of in church, they'd say, take your Bible and turn to Psalm whatever, and we're going to sing Psalm whatever. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns. Hymns are about Him. If it's not about Him, you ought not be singing it. You ought not be listening to it if it ain't about Him. Music has a voice with it. There's a voice that comes with music. Now, see, I feel a kink already in the room. Well, if you're going to kink up now, you're really fixing kink up in a minute. Don't save your kinking up till in a minute. Surely don't kink up on the music. Just wait till we get on the home here in a minute. Then save your kinking up till then. Music has a voice that comes from it. When you listen, that's why it's so important. Oh, it don't matter. Music, oh, I don't listen to the words. You ever heard that? That's a cop-out answer. You can't tell me, hey, I know this. I can go into the grocery store. I can go into the mall. Now listen. And I don't listen to, honestly, I don't. I have never been bothered by some of that other music. But I can go into the grocery store and it be playing over and I'm not listening to the words. But by the time I'm checking out, I'm singing the words that I thought I wasn't listening to. Now you might as well say amen, it's true. Oh, I just like the music. I don't care. I don't listen to the word. Oh, you're listening to them all right. They're going into the subconscious. You better be careful what you listen to and what you put in your ears. Amen. Yeah. There's so many places I could go right now. You know, be careful what you listen to. I never have understood why anybody would want to listen to depressing music. Your wife's leaving you, your dog left, your truck got repossessed, your swimming pool got filled in with concrete. You're counting flowers on the wall because that don't bother me at all. And going through the Big D and don't mean Dallas. I mean, come on, people. And you wonder why people are just walk around depressed all the time. There you go. If you want to be filled with the Spirit, what do? Speak into yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Songs that are spiritual. Boy, this is really kinking up in here now. Because if we walked out into the parking lot right now and you just hand me your keys and you just turn your car, what would just be blaring? Well, you wonder why your life ain't going well. What are you listening to? We may not get any further than this. What do you listen to? What do you put into your spirit? Spiritual songs or... Hallelujah. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, this is what you do. You say, you think I ought to listen? This is a good song. I know it ain't about him, but boy, this is a good song. And I tell you what you do. You just sing it to him. Whatever it was. I wonder if I ought to sing this. I wonder if I would listen to this. Well, just try. Just sit in the car. You listen to it. Oh, that's a good song. Sing it to him. There's a tear in my beer because I'm crying for you, dear. Hey, if you can sing it to him. Hallelujah. Making melody in your heart. Amen. Spiritual songs. Not ungodly songs, spiritual. Songs about him. Amen. Ain't that good? Hallelujah. Now, verse 20. Let's get off of that for sure. Verse 20. How else do you fill with the Spirit? Well, you have to be careful what goes in. And then verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give thanks. We're living in a society that is the most unthankful group of people. We got Walmarts on every street corner, and I think it would do us good if we would go just pack up and go to some third world country and live there for about a month or so. Amen. To where we don't know where our next meal's coming from. We won't know where our next paycheck's coming from. and then come back over here. We'll fall down on the ground and say, Lord, we just want to give you thanks. Amen. Filled with the Spirit. Now, verse 21. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You know, everybody in this room ought to submit to one another. Submit to one another. Sometimes we do that. A couple of people will get to the door at the same time, and this is what they'll do. They'll say, oh, you go first. You go first. Submitting one to another. It's not all about you. It don't have to be all about me. It's about everybody else. Submitting one to another in the fear of God. That's what a church, that's what makes a church strong, is submitting yourselves one to another. That does not mean you're inferior to someone else. That does not mean you're a doormat to someone else. That means, hey, two cars or three cars get it to stop, the three-way go, stop and go. The one that gets there first and gets stopped has the right of way. But sometimes several of them get, or two or three of them get there at the same time. They get stopped at the same time. And somebody's going to have to submit. Everybody can't go at the same time. Somebody's going to have to submit. Who's right? Who's wrong? And then I'm sitting there, I'm going. Does that mean I'm lesser? I'm inferior to that person? Does that mean that person is better than me? Does that mean I'm a doormat and that person, because I said, you go first. Of course, I don't never do that. But anyway, I hurry up and get stopped and I'm gone, you know. Y'all pray for me. I mean, just pray for me. It's all you can do is pray for me. But we get there and we say, you go first. Because you submitted to that person does not mean you're a doormat, does not mean you're inferior to that person, does not mean you're any a lesser of a human being than that person. It does not mean that because that person goes by you they have wiped their feet all over you because you let them go first and you submitted unto them. Now, submit one to another. Verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. All right, same scenario. Wives in the room. I told you to save your kink until now. It was useless to get kinked up on the music part. You just, whatever you list, what are you list, do whatever you need to do, and you do whatever you need to list to, or your spirit, and whatever. But that's what the Bible says. But now, let's get back to this. Wives, submit unto your own husbands. Wives, watch. Same scenario. Husband and wife gets at the three-way stop at the same time. The wife goes, husband, you go first, I'll follow you. Does that mean the wife is a doormat? Does that mean the wife is any lesser than a person than the person she let go first? Then why is it every time we read that verse, that preacher don't, he hates women. And I'll let you know, that has been said about me here. That preacher don't like women. No, I believe the Bible. And it does not mean you're any lesser than a human being. It does not mean. It means, wives, submit, yield unto your own husbands in the as unto the Lord. Hey, watch this. We get saved. We ask the Lord to save us. And we yield. We submit ourselves unto the Lord. Now, husbands, I'm getting to you in a minute. If husbands acted more like the Lord in the home, the wives wouldn't have a problem submitting to the Lord in the home. Woo! Hallelujah. Look, verse 23. Boy, this is really not going over good. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the... See the contrast. Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, in light of what we just said, Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their, or be to their own husbands in everything. All right, let me give you just a few points real quickly. Number one, a husband should be the head, the spiritual leader of the home. Should be the spiritual leader of the home. That does not mean the wife has to walk two steps behind him. That does not mean they're not equal. That does not mean that she's a doormat. And that does not mean that she's supposed to go fetch his slippers and his newspaper. And that does not mean that. That means the spiritual decisions of that home are to be made. Listen. You can... Everybody has one. What would we call two heads? A monster. And a lot of homes are monsters. Why? Because people don't know their position, where they're supposed to be. Husband, that does not mean you're a dictator. That does not mean you're Hitler. That does not mean you go beat your wife over the head with the Bible. Bless God, you do what I say. It's not mean that. And we get criticized a lot of times for, you know, when we preach these verses and, oh, Brother Jeremy hates women. It's not what it says. Brother Jeremy don't hate women. I love my wife. I love my mother. They're both women. And your mother should be a woman. Why has God done it this way? I don't know. When you get to heaven, ask him. I have no idea why he's done it this way. Because I know there are women in this church could run this thing a whole lot better than I. My wife could run. My wife can preach better than me. That's not saying, but I'm just saying she can write some good sermons. I'm just telling you, the Bible says there are no such thing as women preachers. The Bible says if a man desire the office of bishop. I don't know why he did it that way. I didn't write the Bible. I just preached the Bible. I don't understand. Hallelujah. God wants a home to have one head. He wants a home to have a head, and anything without a head is dead. Anything with two heads is a two-headed monster. Amen. Well, why didn't he say? I don't know why he did that. But that does not mean the wife is inferior to the husband and all of this. And all right, let me prove my point. First Corinthians, I think. First Corinthians. Let me show you this. I feel flush all of a sudden. First Corinthians chapter number 11, verse number 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is who? And the head of every woman is and the head of Christ is God. God always has a chain of command. Let me prove a point by this way. There's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They are co-equal. But they all three have different jobs. Jesus said this in Philippians chapter 2. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Jesus Christ, being the form of a servant, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but became a servant. Does not mean he was any lesser. Does not mean he was a doormat. It means he decided, hey, there's a chain of command here. In the home. That's what the Bible says. Does not mean dictator. Does not mean that at all. There's a pattern for you men. You men are the head. You're supposed to be the head. But there's a pattern. How are you supposed to be the headship of the home? You are supposed to be as unto the Lord. Amen. As unto the Lord. Husband, head of the wife. Even as Christ also is the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church. Who's the head of the church? Christ is. Who's the head of the home? The man should be. Many times there's women that are more gifted than men are in finances, and they know how to do books, and they're more business-minded than men are. And that's great. That's wonderful. And she ought to do that in the home, and she ought to have that responsibility. And she ought to do that if she's gifted in that area. Some men couldn't get a budget. They don't know how to budget nothing. And that's why he puts man and woman together. But they're equal. They're different. They're different. Husbands, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to love your wife. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives. Okay, how am I supposed to love my wife? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's pretty strong. Husbands, I guarantee you, if you'll love your wife like Christ loved the church, she won't have any problem coming up to the three-way stop and go, honey, you go first, I'll follow you. Yep. Amen. And if she does still have a problem with that, and you're following Christ, and you're Christ-like, and you're doing everything to love her like Christ loved the church, and she still don't want to submit, then she's in rebellion and not you. Amen. You're supposed to love your wife. Boy, this is rough. I mean, where's the good salvation verses? Look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Watch this. Men, look at your hand. I can't stand that hand. Hit your hand. Hey, cut your hand and it requires stitches. You say, I don't care about that hand. I'll just let it bleed. You love your hand enough to go to the emergency room and get it stitched up. Y'all don't get kinked up. Men, you love your body. You get thirsty, you go get you a drink, don't you? Why? You love your body. You get hungry, you go get you something to eat, don't you? You love your body. You love yourself. You love your wife the same way as you love your own self. Amen. One little boy was looking through pictures. He was looking through pictures, old pictures, wedding pictures. And it was this boy is, probably 10, 11 years old. He's looking at wedding pictures. And he saw wedding pictures. He was mom and dad there. And he looked at his dad and said, Dad, is this when mom came to start working for us? That ain't the way it's supposed to be. That is not the way it's supposed to be. Amen, men. Husband's head of the wife. He's the leader. He's not supposed to be a dictator. But let me say this. When we get before God, stand before God, all right, scratch that. I'll get to that in a second. Eve ate of the fruit in the Garden of Eden. Question. Answer it honestly. Who was held accountable for that? Adam. Men, you're going to be held accountable standing before God how you've led your home. Now, there's the bare facts. Now, let me pause and say this one. It works the same way in church. The church can only have one head. You know why, Brother Jeremy, sometimes some people criticize Brother Jeremy. Oh, Brother Jeremy, he's a dictator. No, friend, if I was a dictator, everybody would tithe. If I was a dictator, everybody would be at prayer meeting on Wednesday night. If I was a dictator, every member would be in church on Sunday night. You know what it takes to get rid of me? I ought not tell you this. 51% of the vote, and I'm gone. You can't do that to a dictator. So it's not about dictatorship. You know why Brother Jeremy keeps a close reins on things? Because when I stand before God, I give an account of every decision that's made in this church. I give an account, right or wrong. If we make a decision together and it's the wrong one, guess who it gets laid on? That's what I'm saying. Chain of command. It's not that I'm trying to, well, I tell you what, everything, you just, it ain't that way. It's because I'm concerned about standing before God and giving account for how we've done this thing. Husbands, same way. You're going to give an account of how that home is taken care of, the spiritual welfare of that home. And you need to take heed to that. And remember that. And ladies, I'm telling you, we ought to love them. We ought to love those women that God has given us. A football team has one quarterback. He calls all of the plays. Amen? He gets all the team together in a huddle. He says, hey, what y'all think we ought to run? Well, I think we ought to run this play. You know what? I don't know. I think we're going to run that play. Ultimately, the last decision has to be made by the quarterback. And if that play fails, who's it fall on? The quarterback can't say, well, he told me to run the play. They put the quarterback and go, look what that quarterback just did. The quarterback gets everybody's opinion. Say, hey, what do y'all think? What do you think? Well, all right. Ultimately, the decision, I've got to make this call, right, wrong, or indifferent. This is the way I think we need to go, and we're going to go. If it's wrong, it's going to be my fault. If I'm right, I'm going to be on the news tonight. Husband, same way. You get the opinion of the whole house. Ask the kids, hey, you think we'll do that? What about this? What about, let's pray about this together. Hey, family, let's get that to pray about it. It's not a dictatorship. Let's get that together, pray about this. But ultimately, when the man says, God, I've got the opinion of all my whole family. I've got to steer this family in the right way. God, I need your help. This is going to fall on me. You say, what does that entail? That means you're filled with the Spirit. Be you filled with the Spirit. Hey, speaking yourselves, psalms, hymns, spiritual song, submitting yourselves one to another. And then why submit yourselves to your only husband? Husband, you turn back and love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. And then in 6:1, chapter 6, verse 1, children, you obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor your father and mother and so on and so forth. Hey, this is a team. It's not a, this is a team effort. Some people, let me ask you, the woman, 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're fixing to go here in a second. 1 Peter chapter 3 says, the woman is the weaker vessel. 1 Peter chapter 3, about verse number 7, it says the woman is the weaker vessel. Oh my. Oh, that's bad. No. What is weaker, silk or blue denim? Is silk inferior to blue denim? What is weaker, stainless steel or gold? Is gold inferior to stainless steel? What's weaker, porcelain or a steel sledgehammer? With porcelain, you can make a beautiful cup. With steel, you can make a sledgehammer and drive a spike. Which is weaker, the cup? Which is better? Well, you can't drink tea out of a sledgehammer. And you can't drive a wedge with a porcelain cup. God made us different. Does not mean one is better than the other. One is inferior to the other. No, equal with God. We're all equal, but different. Amen. You've got a job to do in that home. That man's got a job to do. That woman's got a job to do. Those children have a job to do. And if it works right and everybody's falling in line as unto the Lord, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and God will bless you for it. Amen. Well, I didn't get any amens on that, but hallelujah. Submission is one equal, voluntary placing himself under another equal, that God may therefore be glorified. Let me say that again. Submission is one equal, voluntarily placing himself under another equal, that God may therefore be glorified. Amen. You don't have to agree with it, but it is Bible. Hallelujah. Three of you. Well, I've lost the rest of you. Brother Jeremy hates women again. So I'll tell you what. Yeah, you get the foot, get the huddle going again. Quarterback says, we fix to run this play. This guy says, I ain't running that play. Ain't nobody telling me what to do. We're equal. You ain't no better than me. I'm running my own play. This guy over here says, well, I ain't running either one of them plays. Ain't none of y'all telling me what to do. I ain't submitting to nobody. I'm my own man. Well, all of you run the own play you want to run and see what happens. You wonder why your whole marriage is in a wreck? Y'all ain't running the same plan. You want to run? You want to know why you're losing the game? Because you ain't all on the same page. Woo! Hallelujah. You know why churches, crumble and fall and divide and splinter off and this, that, and the other? We're going to have to get on the same game plan and get behind the quarterback. You get behind your quarterback at home, say, hey, we're behind him 100%. He may make a wrong decision every now and then. If he does, that's between him and God. God's going to whoop him for that. But we're going to do our part, and if he calls the play, we'll run that play. That's Bible, folks. That's Bible. I know it's not popular out in the world, but that's Bible. Amen. Marriage rights. I got rights. I got rights. Marriage rights are a lot like traffic lights. If you're driving a Volkswagen and you have the right of way and there's a truck coming, you better use some common sense, because you may have the right of way. You may have some rights, but go on and pull out there if you want to and see what the Big Mac truck thinks about your rights. Here lies the body of Benjamin May, who died defending the right of way. He was right, dead right, as he sped along, but just as dead as if he were wrong. Hallelujah! Where did we go now? Let me just pause right here. Wives, willingly. Husbands, you don't force that. Wives, get right with the Lord. Willingly submit. Come to the three-way stop. Husband, you go. Yeah, I don't think it's the right decision, but I'm following you. God's going to get you. God's going to get you, husband. If I'm following you like he told me to do, you make the wrong decision, God's going to get you. He ain't going to get me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I don't think it's the right decision, but I'm following you. I'm yielding. You go first. I'll follow you. But if it's the wrong decision, the Lord's going to get you, buddy. He ain't getting me. And then husbands, you love your wife like Christ loved the church and willing to die. And hey, you know what? I forgot what preacher said this, and I'm closing. I forgot what preacher said this. He said, you know what? To make a marriage work, you need two funerals. and a wedding. Two funerals and a wedding. When you come down here before God and everybody else, that man ought to die to himself. Funeral number one. That woman ought to die to herself. Funeral number two. And both of those dead to themselves people come together as one. And you got to remember, you ain't single no more. You just can't go out and play basketball with the boys till wee hours of the night. You can't do that no more. You ain't single no more. Wives, you're not single no more. Stop trying to act single. Get all dolled up and go to the club and keep and let the husband have all the kids for the night. Oh, I just need my girl time. No, you're married now. You should have had your girl time before you got married. You ain't single no more. You're one. Hallelujah. I thought about stopping, but Lord, I feel like preaching now. You see a husband out, you see his wife could be at home. You see them both together. God, they're one. Amen. Well, anyway. Well, I thought we was going to finish chapter 5. It's all about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And that's how you do it. And sometimes, I mean, it don't always work that way. But that's the way God intended. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, tonight for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me give you this.